This is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. The sun is out this morning. It's a tad bit chilly. We're here in Marion, Ohio at WWGH Radio. This morning, Scott Spears is out, and I am blessed to be having a co-host here today of Adam Lepp. Most of you know Adam. Adam is a computer guy along with a little bit of everything else when he steps in sometimes, right?
I am certainly a man with many talents, that's for sure. But that's part of the fun, you know, when you can do many different things, there is never a dull moment. Steve, you're also somebody with many talents, and the one we're most familiar with is a minister at a church just down the road here in Prospect, Ohio.
Well, you know, I can be a man with many talents, but many times I find that I'm not. I don't know, I think that as time goes on each and every day, Adam, I do believe that we find out that we know less than we thought, and and there's things that we've never learned to do that we still wish that we could.
I would definitely agree. Every day you wake up, it's a learning experience, and if you, as they say, a mind is like a parachute, only works when it's open. If you don't leave yourself open to learning new things, forming new opinions, adjusting what you already know, then your life becomes less meaningful. No other way to say it. And I think you learn more of that. You feel more. You learn to abide by that principle as you get older. That's one way I think that people evolve as they go through adulthood.
I think so. But anyway, I'm glad to have everyone this morning. This is the Pastor Spot. We are a weekly radio ministry from Community Christian Fellowship. And we have not just the church sponsoring, but we also have Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions, who are in Galleon and Cardington and serving this whole area. They do our service, and Jeff Young's over there. They're great people, and take care of all your insurance needs. And also, Jeff's Bicycle Shop, which is in Prospect. You know, Jeff does a lot of neat stuff. He'll fix any type of bike. He does extremely high-end bikes all the way down to the little kid's pedal bike. But anyway, they are in Prospect, and they're open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and if I'm not mistaken, Saturdays. So that's Jeff's Bicycle Shop. We're trying to get through some technical things here. If I keep making breaks and stuttering, you'll understand why. good morning, Glory. I see you're watching out there, and I can see kind of on my phone when I tape it. By the way, we do tape this on the Pastor Spot. If you want to go there on the Facebook page, and you can see that also at any time. Well, this morning I want to talk about a few things. I've got Adam here. I found out that Adam said yesterday that he was going to be hosting, and I thought, oh, this will be fun because now we can get Adam involved in a few things and talk about. But I want to start this morning with a passage in Matthew chapter 5. We know that Matthew 5, this is all the teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to begin in verse 37. It says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil." And it's interesting. And what that means is that when you communicate, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't waffle. When you begin waffling, things can sneak in there that mess everything up. So you're much better off just say, you know what, yes, I will do this, or no, I won't, or yes, I agree, or no, I don't. When you start trying to please people, the problem is, I see that in politics today, we have what we call people pleasers. And I find it very interesting that even when you look at our party platforms in both parties, in all three parties, we have to look at Libertarian Party's pretty active today too. And when you look at their platforms, first of all, by the candidates running, you probably wouldn't know what the platform is because half the candidates don't even agree with the platform. And I think if you're going to run with a party, you better agree with the platform. And then when promises are made and things are said, we soon realize that their yes isn't yes and their no isn't no, because when they get to Washington, things don't seem to happen the way that we'd like them to. So I think that our politicians could definitely learn a little bit from this passage, and as we can too each and every day. Your yes being yes and your no being no will keep you out of trouble. But I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to the other. We've heard this for years in teaching from the Bible. The Bible says if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn your cheek. Let them hit the other. Don't hit them back. And there's a reason for that, too. It means that, you know what, calm the situation down. Don't make things worse than they are. Don't do to other people what they're doing to you. You never heard somebody say, Adam, you ever heard someone say, take the high road?
Yes, very much so. That's actually kind of like a Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Be adventurous. Take the road someone else doesn't take. You'll learn something. Change your routine around.
And let it be good and not evil. Let it be the high road. Let it not be.
You never stop growing. You don't stop growing when you graduate.
No, you certainly
90-year-old people keep growing, and I certainly know that I grow every day. That's
one of the beginning times. That's when the rude awakening hits, is when you graduate from high school.
You know, and I wondered, why do they call graduation commencement? Commencement means beginning. Well, it's a beginning. Beginning of your adult life. Beginning of your life after you have your degree. It's not the end.
And it's the beginning of your life after you have your parents hands-on in your life. That's not a definite. It's the beginning of your life where you step out, and guess what? That responsibility can hit you right square in the face. I've said this before, probably on the show several times, that the scariest moment of my life was the night that I graduated from high school, because I knew that following that, my mom had a hard, fast rule. If you're not in school, you're out of the house. And I knew that I either had to be in college somewhere, but when you turned 18, in my house, when you were 18 and graduated from high school, you got a job and supported yourself. She said, you're not here anymore. It's time to be an adult. So here I go from, you know, knowing where I'm sleeping every night to thinking, uh-oh. I mean, she didn't kick me out the next morning. I don't mean that. But I knew that I had to start making plans to do something because I was just not going to stay at home. And that was just a way that she was brought up. And a lot of people were brought up for generations that way. It was time to be an adult. Most people, by the time they turned 18, if you go back 100 years, probably had a few kids and had been in the workforce since they were probably 15. But so that can be a scary time. As we go on, it says... And if any man will sue you with the law and take away your coat, let him take away your cloak also. That's a pretty interesting one. We fight and fight people that would unjustly take stuff from them. But this is talking about keeping peace. And this is talking about being someone that doesn't want to stir the pot and make things worse. And whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go two with him. Someone wants you to go a mile, go two. This is all protection stuff of God wanting to protect his people by saying, look, whatever the situation is, make it better. Don't stir it and make it worse. If somebody wants you to go a mile, say, fine, I'll go two. That way you can't say I didn't go the mile. Don't say I cheated you. I gave you more than you were asking for. Don't say that I was the aggressor here. I turned the cheek and let you hit the other one. And it's that type of a thing. And then it says, you've heard it hath been said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow, isn't that interesting? We don't see a lot of that today. One thing I love about I listen to AFR a lot. And... this particular show, one thing they do every day in the morning is they pick a different person in leadership in our country. This morning was the director of the FBI, our FBI director, and they actually prayed for the FBI director and his duties during the day and the decisions that he would make. And they do that every day, no matter who it is. And, you know, in our current culture, to say that a conservative Christian person would be praying for somebody that is definitely not in their camp, so to speak, that's not something we see. We're so divided, we're supposed to hate those that are not in our camp. But the Bible teaches us just the opposite, that we are to love those that are not in our camp. Now, let me qualify this a little bit. Loving them does not mean that we agree and does not mean that... loving someone doesn't mean you accept everything. it means that you care about them and you love them. You can disagree with them, and I would hope that you would in many cases. Could you imagine, Adam, if we were in a society where everybody thought the same, did the same, acted the same?
I would say, as I often do on the air, if everybody agreed, the world would be a rather boring place.
Kind of a milquetoast place, wouldn't it?
And it's the radio business, Pastor Steve, is kind of similar to that, in that we are friendly competitors. We may fight for listeners with another talk station, with a podcast, with another local station, but as I see it, we're in the same business. It's a healthy, a friendly competition because we feed off each other. Radio listeners, no matter what station, are people that we value. And if you get different perspectives, you'll appreciate the opposing views or other station a lot more. And that friendly competition, I think we're moving away from that in some areas. And we need to take a second look, because healthy competition is, to me, it's very American. It's part of our spirit in this great country.
A couple of years ago, I'm trying to remember, I can't think of his name. He was a coach. His son played at Ohio State that had a radio program here.
Satch Sullinger.
Satch, yes. Satch was on, and I called in because I wasn't agreeing with much of what he was saying. And, I was really disagreeing with it. And I finally called in, and we ended up spending the whole rest of the show in a discussion, and even came back after the break. But what was interesting about that discussion was that it stayed very, very civil the whole time. And we listened to each other's opinions, and we spoke. And I'm not saying I changed his mind, and he definitely didn't change mine. But I'm just saying it was open discussion. So the listener out there, on the other hand, could listen to both sides and make a decision. And I think that's so important that we have a dialogue, that we have something that we can look at and do that. Where we cross the line at many times is when people start slandering really hard, like, these people are idiots, or these people are the total problem, or, talking about someone, attacking them personally, calling them, everything about them is mean, everything about them is this, is that. And I think that we can talk about their issues. Let people that are in the audience and people out there in the listening audience, let them decide whether or not that person's mean or they're crazy on their own, and I don't think we have to do it. It's very interesting that in a lot of the talk about the COVID stuff that's out there, I have heard so much. It has become so polarized, and from the very beginning, when people were trying to look at some alternatives that might help, and because honestly, people in America, we did not get to where we are in this country. This country was not built on stupidity by anyone. And this country was built on thinkers, of people trying to figure out the best way to do things and coming together in dialogue and discussion. And in doing that, this country was built, and many new ideas came. That's how we got our vaccines and things in the past, and had huge medical breakthroughs. But the minute anyone questioned how this was being approached, they suddenly got funneled into a category of being Neanderthals, dumb hillbillies, haters, murderers. I've heard them called all that, people that didn't agree with the direction that they were going medically with this thing, and questioning it. But this country was built on questioning things. Now we're finding out that just 3 months ago, there were discussions even on our airwaves about people that wouldn't get vaccine, how are they any different than a murderer because they're spreading this disease? And I just kind of thought, okay, but here's the point. Today we're seeing those people that questioned it probably had some validity to what they were thinking, because we're finding out that in the hospitals there's a lot of people that have had the vaccine. They're still spreading it and getting it. My daughter, my daughter is, she gets out and about, and all my kids do. They have jobs that are busy and out there. And so many of them know people close to them that are fully vaccinated that have had COVID once or twice. And so I'm not going to argue the point of whether it lessens the effect of the virus if you get it. We think that it might. One thing I do find interesting, Adam, is that I was watching the news last night, and they said that the majority of the people in the hospital are unvaccinated. And what I really find interesting about that is myself, I know a lot of people, and a lot of people in the medical field, in a lot of different hospitals. And in my discussions with them, because I'm an inquisitive fella, and in my discussions with them, I'm finding that is not what they're telling me they're seeing in their hospitals. So where are these numbers coming from?
It seems like they are skewed and biased. And I tell you, Pastor Steve, I agree. I'm hearing more about vaccinated people getting the disease, even if it's mild, multiple times. I can think of one friend of mine. He's had it three times. He's a young, middle-aged man. And he'll be fine. I mean, he's a fighter. But he's had the vaccine, and now he's kind of fed up with the whole situation and the flip-flops from Fauci and the others. Depends what you hear. I mean, you and I,
it really
Steve,
does.
Yeah, we're not far apart in age. Do you agree with me? This is the biggest news item, the biggest event in American history in our lifetime. We've lived through Watergate, inflation,
yes,
obviously 9/11, the Cold War. I mean, it's fascinating from a philosophical standpoint, but it's been almost 2 years, and I don't see it ending.
Yeah, it was interesting. I re-messaged out, I sent out to a bunch of people a show that we did in August of 20. And that was, we were talking about clear back in August of 20. I mean, because of course it came around in that spring of 20. And, you know, my word, here it is. And, but you know, you're right. And I here's the thing that gets me is that, I won't argue whether the vaccine, I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor. So I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the vaccine has no bearing on the severity. It may, I'm not sure. It's hard to believe anything because everything changes so much. And, but here's the one thing that was being said and is still being said, by our president also, that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That is a mistruth that is just plain obvious because no one is, you still spread it whether you're vaccinated or not because yeah. The people that aren't that are vaccinated are still getting it. So you're going to spread it regardless of whether you're vaccinated. So how is this a pandemic of the unvaccinated?
Do you remember the movie Airplane where the doctor was talking about the food poisoning? Of course he was lying and his nose kept growing.
Yeah.
And I was just doing a pantomime of a nose growing. And I have no other way to say it. It's not. And maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. I think the vaccine is a good idea for some people. But this is not a polio vaccine.
No.
I mean, don't insult my intelligence. You know, I know a little bit about science. In fact, I know quite a bit. But even if you didn't go to school for science, just basic common sense, the scenario, the methodology is so different.
Well, you know, viruses mutate. We know that. And they keep coming up with different vaccines. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but hogs, pigs, oinkers, squeakers, the fat little chubby guys that we get bacon from,
yep,
they are one of the most susceptible animals there are to viruses. And they get viruses that mutate constantly. And it's really interesting that all of these major, huge pork operations have on their staff have a staff veterinarian. And one of the things they do, these staff veterinarians do, is they're constantly in the lab tweaking vaccines because the viruses keep mutating. And they do. It's just a given thing, so they do it all the time. And the funny thing is that people are going to have to don't realize that this is going to mutate, and it's just like with the flu vaccine every year. You know, you can go to your pharmacy or wherever your doctor and get the flu shot, and they will tell you it should cover this, this, and this, but it's not definite. It might not, but it should give you some level of protection. Now, if we handled this vaccination, this COVID that way, we'd be fine. I am very sympathetic to the people that I know that have lost family members unexpectedly from COVID. This is a freaky virus. I mean, I have seen it attack people and do some really bad, ugly things to them. There was a 19-year-old boy from Buckeye Valley that just passed away from it. You know, that happens. There was, I had a dear friend, Bill Snyder, pastor here in town, that Bill got it and it was a week later he was gone. So I understand that, but I think we have to understand that we always will have these things with us, and we need to approach it this way and quit making it a social issue. And this is what bothers me, is the social side of it, the name-calling. Rather than, as we just read in this passage in the good Word of God, that we're supposed to come together, work together, love one another, care about one another, and find ways to truly help each other, we have shut our country down, we've destroyed our economy, we've messed with kids in school, we've messed up their education, where there's kids that have not been able to, that after going 12 years of high school, we're not able to have a graduation to look forward to, and they'll never have that in their life. We have little kindergartners that have been wearing masks that we know isn't healthy for them. Something interesting, I've been, I stepped in and I've been substitute driving for one of the districts because a fellow's out surgery. He had surgery and he's out. And I told him, I said, I'll drive for you for a couple months, and I have the I can do that. I'm you know, on the school's roster to do that, and I do it, you know, come back and forth, and I can still sneak my ministry in around it. So I'll be doing that for a couple months. But I have to wear a mask. It's federal. We had to wear a mask if we were in on a school bus. That's one of the places that they mandated that, and everyone's afraid they'll take their funding, so yes, you got to have that mask on the bus. Now, what I find interesting about that is, Adam, is that I promise you on that school bus, by the time you're on there for an hour in the winter with the windows up and no fresh air coming in, we have circulated everyone else's breath, germs, and everything else without a doubt. The thing that I notice, though, is that when I put on a mask when I'm driving, I seem to not feel quite up to myself after about an hour. And I think it's from breathing my own.
Yeah. The emotional impact, and, you know, I might joke around that I don't have good social skills. I mean, I come alive when I'm behind the microphone, but in person, I'm socially awkward. That's how I am. And it's not really a bad quality. And everybody, as you know, Pastor Steve, no matter how good your hearing is, everybody reads lips. That's part of how we communicate.
Right.
Especially in the United States, where we're a touchy-feely expression kind of a culture. Now, some cultures aren't. That came up with a caller where in Japan, they've worn masks many times when there's a flu or other communicable disease going around. You know, I can't talk much about Japanese culture. It certainly is different in many ways from ours. Better or worse, I don't know, but it's different. But America, we're touchy-feely. We have expressions. With a mask on, we have no expressions.
We're
don't
a blank slate.
Communicate as well.
Yeah, we're blank slate.
Especially if you have issues with people smarts like I know that I do, it makes it even worse. That combined with the question, are masks actually helping the problem? Sometimes we say, well, is the cure worse than the problem? And this is a model example of that as far as I'm concerned.
But the thing is, Adam, don't you think that as Americans, we've always been able to question? You know, it's questioning that brings around good results. It's questioning that brings around looking back. Well, maybe I better look at how I did this, or maybe I better look at this because, yeah, maybe I should listen to that question. You know, Scott always says you always learn more from listening to other people than you ever do yourself. And that's true. So quit listening to these news stations that are telling you exactly what's going on when they've just been fed a script to tell you this.
Yeah. What I know from my science education, and there's the irony, Pastor Steve, is that the whole idea of science is that you question what people know. You go to the lab, you go on the computer, and you adjust the information, you find out more information, or you prove why you believe something is true. And we are being told to muffle what we are questioning, what we believe, and just to follow the flock. And that's not what America is made of. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. As a minister, Steve, I would imagine you agree, but you can provide a better perspective than I can. Because a lot of religion is the same way. You're not saying what you say in your sermon is right. You're saying question it. Learn about it. Form your own opinion.
Well, I believe that, you know, what the Word of God says is right. And when I teach that, I believe it's right. But I also challenge people. Don't take what's coming out of my lips from me as gospel. You do question it. You do, you know, look for yourself. I encourage people to question me and question what I've taught them and what I've said. And that's the way that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that way. you're right, and I think that we're being told not to question it, just to shut up and march lockstep, and that can take us down some bad roads really quickly. I think that now that we're seeing that people spread the virus, whether they're vaccinated or not, that's a given fact, so we just can't, I mean, that's been exposed. That is what it is. If not, those people wouldn't be in the hospital that have been vaccinated. And now that we see that, shouldn't we then be saying, what about all these people that we just demonized that had that very fear and said that we don't see because of this, of what we know? See, that's the thing. I encourage people to do their own personal research, which I did, and I have. And it's left me with more questions than answers. But because I have more questions than answers, I'm not just going to follow lockstep being told what to do. I'm going to let us make informed decisions. We've always been able to do that in this country. And I think that's what we still need to be able to do. I don't even understand the hospital mandates and the Medicare mandates because, you know, these healthcare workers that are in the hospitals, they're going to spread it whether they've had a vaccine or not. Matter of fact, if the vaccine is truly helping, the only person they are physically hurting is probably themselves. And we've always been allowed to hurt ourselves in this country, haven't we?
I would say so. And also the communication. I want to communicate with my medical professional. For as much as I'm paying them, I want his or her undivided attention. And I don't want it behind the mask. And if you're doing surgery, the patient obviously has been sedated or anesthetized. There's a reason why surgeons wear masks, and I've quoted an article by a surgeon, although many surgeons are saying the same thing. Why do surgeons in the operating room wear a mask? Because some people say, well, if you don't like masks, tell your surgeon next time you go in for an operation to take his or her mask off. Well, that's not true. There's a big hole in that argument. The masks, and that's why they're called surgical masks. You and I are not surgeons. I didn't go to school for 12 years to learn how to do heart surgery. I admire people who have because it's a very challenging field. Talk about one that changes all the time. And they wear a mask for a reason. And this mask, again, being a medical device, is not one that's going to provide ample mitigation for this COVID-19 situation. And again, the cure is worse than the problem.
It's interesting that OSHA a few years ago, one of their magazine that comes out every month, OSHA had a article in their magazine on masks and the good and the bad and what works and what didn't. And even though that was a very well-respected article that was done with clear research, because we're talking about OSHA, right? You know, they're the ones that go in and say what's healthy on the job and whatnot, because so many workers wear masks for different reasons and always have, whether it's because of chemical fumes or whether it's dust or carcinogens or whatever it may be. And, you know, when they tried to come out and say, look, this is the truth about masks, they were silenced. And even, you know, so why are we silencing people? This is what I want to know. Why are we silencing people? And especially we're silencing doctors. It's real interesting I'll use the example of ivermectin. I've used it for years on cattle. It is a good warmer, but it's not just a warmer. Ivermectin, when it was invented, the inventors of ivermectin got the Nobel Peace Prize for medicine. And at the time, all the doctor says, you know, this is a wonder drug. I mean, this thing covers such a wide spectrum of viruses. We've never seen anything like it. And they've hailed it as this great drug, along with hydrochloroquine was another one. They've given it for years. You know, in foreign countries, people take it regularly where they have malaria. And it's never hurt anyone. But the minute they talked about, I'm not saying whether this drug would work on this or not, COVID. But what I'm saying is the minute that it was even brought up, all of a sudden these were quack medicines.
Sometimes if these so-called experts don't hear what they want to hear, they become a little bit belligerent.
But yet yesterday I heard on the news that they're thinking about possibly using Viagra as a treatment for COVID.
Now,
that's interesting.
That would be fascinating.
Yes. That would be fascinating. But you know what? I guess what I'm getting at is this. Is that quit pigeonholing people just because of what they say on the news. Because you can change the channel and get a completely different opinion. It depends on which one you're watching. Yep. So, you know, when one station's calling you, I guess what I'm saying is, Americans, let's investigate. Let's be wise. Let's be who we've always been. Let's look at it. I don't encourage people to sit back and just say no. I encourage them to look and to make a decision and to research things and really look at it and use the common sense God gave them to think about something and say, you know what, I agree with this or I don't, my yes or my no. And I agree there's reason to question it or reason not to. But to walk lockstep with this stuff, and so quickly, you know, something develops. So I found it very interesting that it's only been a month, 5 weeks now, actually, I think, since this Omicron variant just popped up in South Africa. Boom, it was there, right? Well, all of a sudden, they were saying 2 weeks later that this current booster would cover that. 2 weeks later, how would they know that?
There are a lot of holes.
They can't know that.
Yeah, the holes.
But it was widely put out in the news, yeah. And guess what? This is what it's going to do. So what I'm saying is that, you know, quit scaring people.
Yeah, scare tactics don't work. We're grown-ups right now.
Why are? But it is working. I mean, so many people are afraid. I mean, you go out in public and you see it. You know. How about instead of scaring, how about encouraging? You know, something I've never heard much of with this, and I know this is a pastor spot. I'm supposed to be talking about biblical things, but I am. I'm talking about how we treat people and what we do. And, you know, why are we not? Adam, how much have you seen on the news or anywhere else and from officials that talk and give their little speeches about encouraging people to eat healthy, to take care of their issues that are outside issues, that even the flu. I mean, every year we see people die of the flu when they have other conditions that add to the flu, and it kills them. So why are we not encouraging people to eat better? Why aren't we not? We know that there are certain vitamins out there that will boost the immune system. Without a doubt, we know that. We've known it forever. The medical field knows it. Why are we not encouraging people to take those things? And so, not to cure, not calling them a cure, but just saying, you know, if you want to help you boost your immune system, take some vitamin C. How about maybe take some D3 or some, you see where I'm at with that?
I would say the preventative holistic approach, it's kind of contrary to the mentality that we're seeing in the medical field. And where I come from, Pastor Steve, the default human condition is healthy, not ill. Now, I understand that the medical profession, their job is to heal ill people, but it's also to keep people healthy.
Absolutely. Preventative medicine.
That's what I've always thought.
So what's wrong with promoting preventative medicine?
That's a very good question, because that's what I promote.
If I go into my doctor and I say, man, my blood pressure's, you know, it's running 210 over 99 every day, and I walk in there and I weigh twice what my body should carry, the first thing he's going to say to me is, well, Steve, we need to get some weight off of you. You know, I'm going to give you some medicine, but we need to get some weight off you. In this particular situation, no one's saying we need to get some weight off of you. It's just get in line, get the shot. Get in line, get the shot.
I mean, Pastor Steve, one credibility red flag is the closing of the gyms. I've talked about this, but I don't know how else to say it. First of all, every small business is essential. I don't care if you sell mink coats. It's still essential because small business is what America is made of.
Absolutely.
And I made it very clear, why did Governor DeWine close the gyms? Why doesn't he get off of his rear end and go to a gym? Because by going to the gym, you're obviously supporting small business and you're socializing, which is nice. You can buy gym equipment for your house, but I can assure you it's expensive. I have a small...
You won't have all the parts with
it. I went to Walmart the day that he closed the gyms and spent a couple $100s. I already had some equipment, but I bought some more. But it's nothing close to the $100,000 plus equipment that even a small gym has. And by going to the gym, people are encouraged to stay healthy. And where I come from, that's the best way to fend off the disease. And again, it's also good. It's good for your flexibility. It helps your metabolism. And it's a social activity, gets you out of the house. Yes, you're around other people. And yes, you have a risk of disease. But just the idea that he would close gyms and say that they're not essential, that they're a risk to our health, my blood still boils when I think about that. And that right there shows the lack of credibility and the politics behind this. And I don't know.
Close the gym, but leave Walmart open.
Yeah, and leave the tobacco and liquor stores open, too. They were considered essential. So I'd like to.
But you know, health isn't.
Yeah, I'd like to know, Pastor Steve, why, how somebody, because, you know, you're a wise man, would think that a tobacco store, that a liquor store is essential, whereas a gym is not. Now, again, I think all small businesses are essential. I think Walmart's essential. I understand that they have been detrimental to a lot of small businesses. And, you know, there's a good and the bad, because I shop at Walmart. I'm not a hypocrite. I do prefer to support local businesses, but I do go to Walmart. I mean,
if they have it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not perfect. But, again, I am a supporter of small business, especially restaurants, variety stores, and,
right, absolutely.
And of course, gyms. And but I don't know. Where is the logic, Pastor Steve, in that a tobacco and liquor store stays open, but a gym doesn't? I'd like an explanation of that. That's one argument where there is clearly one side only. Maybe you know, because you're a wise man. Maybe you have the answer, but I certainly don't.
Yeah, I'm saying that everybody's in there breathing hard and around each other and sweating and all this and that, whereas in the liquor store you go in with your mask on, you buy and you leave. And I guess I don't know, but it doesn't fly. I don't think hardly any of it flies. I know a lady, Adam, that because we know what viruses do, and they've always known what viruses do and how they're spread. I know a lady that just got over, she had COVID and was very ill. The 2 weeks, 3 weeks prior to her getting COVID, she never left her house. Now, how'd she get it? She got it because when viruses spread and they're out there, they are out there.
Yeah, they're in the air.
They're everywhere. And the thing is, if I'm going to get this virus, I want to be as healthy as I can going into it, right? Or any virus.
Right. Humans naturally can fend off many diseases.
We're designed, we're built that way.
And you may also develop an immunity.
And we do develop immunities. And actually, they've proven the best immunity is your own immunity that you develop. And everything else is foreign. You know, when you have a transplant, organ transplant, you spend the rest of your lives on anti-rejection medication because your body is rejecting that. Even though you may be the same blood type, it's not your organ. Your body is automatically going to reject that organ without anti-rejection medicine. So anytime we bring something foreign into our body to do something that it naturally should be doing, we're compromising the body. There's no question.
Yeah, and that gets into the vaccine, the mRNA. I like the concept, but I am a little worried about long-term effects and the virus shedding.
We don't know.
And is it causing people to become ill, or if they do catch the virus, because we're all exposed every day, does it make it worse? I don't know. I don't claim to be an expert, but it just doesn't click. A doesn't go into B like it should.
And they don't, you know, they've never really said that. They cannot say definitively that it won't affect you genetically in the body too, and your genes, and they just can't say that it will or it won't cause some type of a malformation or something. So that's the reason we do long-term testing on things. With pigs, it doesn't matter. I was talking about, you know, the pig vaccines are constantly changing because, you know, they only live 6 months and they're on somebody's skillet. But with people, we live a long lifetime, and people's bodies change, and they get pregnant, have babies, and they do all these different things. And I kind of would like to know what the long term is. I don't know. I will say this: if you're out there and you've been vaccinated, great, good for you. And I don't have any problem with anybody who wants to be vaccinated. I don't at all. But here's the thing is, Adam, I don't have any problem with anyone that doesn't want to get vaccinated either. I think it's a matter of personal choice. And quite frankly, I think it's wrong that the people that don't want to get vaccinated are being called ignorant, being called non-caring, when the truth is that most of the people that want to not be vaccinated have really been researching this thing and looking at it. And a lot of the ones that are walking lockstep are doing just that. They're the sheep. And now, not all of them, I'm not calling names here. What I'm saying is, and a lot of those people are, if you've investigated and looked at everything and say, I think the vaccine's best, that's fantastic. But if you've investigated and looked at everything and you form a personal opinion that this isn't for me and I don't believe that I'm hurting someone else by not getting it, then that's your personal decision to do. And that's what a lot of these people said initially. And now that we're, and they were still called murderers. And what's the, I was asked right on this show one day, what's the difference between them and a murderer? Okay, well, huge difference. Well, now we're finding out that it didn't matter. Because whether you had the vaccine or not, you're still spreading it. So, oh, now are we going to go back and, hey, we're sorry we called all of you murderers, when, but you really were. It just changed. Oh, come on.
I'd like to hear what that person calls a drunk driver.
Probably a murderer if they hit somebody.
Well, a drunk driver is negligent and should be punished. Mm-hmm. You know, but murderer, that's a pretty strong word.
What about distracted?
That also. Anything that doesn't involve driving the way that you were taught in driver's ed.
And that brings up another point with just a few, maybe 10 minutes left, brings up another point that I think is so important about this whole discussion. And that is that we have so many issues in this country that are so important. And I think that if we handled this whole thing like it was a virus that was ugly, and we told everybody, this is how you treat a virus. This is how you prepare. This is what you do when you get sick. These are preventative measures. Do everything you can to be as healthy as you can. So if you get this, you have a better chance of getting through it. Here's some stuff you can take at home. Here's some treatment things. I talked to a doctor early on, sat right in the doctor's office. And I said, what would you do if I got it? What would you prescribe for me? And you know what the answer was? From my doctor, I didn't say this because they're no longer there anymore, they left. My doctor said, we do not, under the umbrella she was under, we do not have a protocol for treating. So all we can tell you to do is go take over-the-counter stuff or whatever and hope it doesn't get worse. We don't have a protocol for treating it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Treatment is always what about a Z-Pack? I mean, that's to give people for flu and cold viruses. And I know that they have been doing that more recently, giving people those kind of things. But what I'm getting at is this. Rather than making this consume our nation, shut our country down, kill our economy, our inflation is through the roof, and it's not from COVID either, by the way. We'll talk about that some other time. I don't think that COVID is why our inflation is the way it is today.
It's a contributing factor, but it is not the primary reason. No, I agree with you.
And I want to tell you something. If you can't get that refrigerator because it can't get over here, or you can't get a new car because of car parts, it's not because they can't be shipped here. It's because somebody's not shipping them. And I think that right now we're being a laughing stock in this world. But anyway, that's for another day. But what I am saying is this. If we treated this the way it should have been treated, what about the issues out there that really have been put on the back burner? Going after child sex traffickers and people are trafficking people and the massive drug problem, and there's so many issues in this country. You know, child welfare and the education of kids that are, you know, a lot of the kids, you know, one of the biggest tragedies was in this whole thing of shutting everything down. There were a lot of kids in this country. There were a lot of kids in this county that had very abusive, bad situations at home. And their only reprieve were those hours that they were in school. And not only that, it was a time when their teachers could check on their well-being and see how they were. And we went through that period of time. All these kids were shipped out with no one overseeing them. And Adam, it's criminal. And this was nationwide. Yeah. And there was no reason for it.
A cure worse than the problem, much worse.
Much worse than the problem.
Domestic violence, drug abuse, depression is going through the roof.
Going through the roof.
You counsel people at the church, Steve. You know about it more than anybody.
I am currently counseling 300% more people than I've counseled in the past several years. Now, that doesn't mean I'm counseling a lot of people. I'm just saying. I'll say three times. Is that better? Than 300%, that makes it seem like a huge number.
The same thing mathematically.
Same thing mathematically. Yeah, I am. Because the stress, and you know what I'm finding, Adam, is that I'm counseling more kids. Kids. I am seeing kids that are 8 and 9 years old with depression. just depressed. There's no reason for it.
We're social animals. I don't know how else to say it.
And it's being taken away. And we're letting people tell us what to do that keep changing their stories.
I would say, as I've said, Dr. Fauci has more flip-flops than a beach footwear store.
But don't say that. You know, Adam, if you post that on Facebook, they'll take you'll be in Facebook jail for 3 months.
I've said it. I've never been in Facebook jail. I'm kind of wondering. I've had a lot of friends who've been in Facebook jail.
Yeah, it's real interesting. I don't put anything derogatory on it. Most of the time, it's just my messages and what I say. And I don't put the crazy stuff out there that people say.
Yeah, you're...
But I got a message from them the other day that said that due to my content of what I said that could not be fact-checked.
Yeah.
That they were putting me lower on the wall list for at least a period of 90 days on all my sites.
I've had stuff blocked by the so-called fact checkers, but never had a penalty like that, not as far as I remember. And I've been on Facebook 11 years.
I've never had a penalty
like
that. That just popped up the other day. In other words, we can't prove anything that you're saying, and I think they're probably talking about things on this show and whatnot. Where's our free speech in this country?
I mean, Facebook's a private company. Of course, they're basically a monopoly, but you don't have to use it. They've just become so big in our society. But we do expect them to be unbiased. That's the right thing to do. That's the American thing to do.
I mean,
it's a worldwide.
They would.
Facebook is worldwide, but it is America-based.
If I put something on there that is totally false, supporting, with no facts to it, it don't have to be totally false, but with no facts by it whatsoever, 100% supporting Dr. Fauci right now, it'll never even get a blink.
Well, they do have their biases.
Very biased. And, you remember when they were interviewing, what's his name that's the head of Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Zuck. And you know, he came right out and said, he admitted that their fact checkers were opinion people. They were people that were just giving it. They weren't checking facts. You know, everything's set up on an algorithm and there are certain triggers and they look at it. And
fact checking is a buzzword which needs to be doing a little less buzzing.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people would use swopes.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Snopes,
It was opinion.
Yeah, it's sometimes there's a gray area there. We've got about a minute and 45 seconds left. Great conversation today, Pastor Steve.
Interesting.
Your program's always great, but, you know, with me at the microphone, certainly me and Scott, we're different in some ways, but that's part of the fun. It's invigorating to hear a little different. And no matter which episode you listen to, you will come away from this program a smarter person, more enriched than you were when you started. And you'll laugh a little bit, too, because laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I hope that people will just stop and look and stop and think. You know, I want to tell you something in the last minute we have. And this is so important. I had to tell a young man this the other day I didn't even know him. He was just telling me about his home life and what his dad had done to him and how he'd been treated and abused and how it's left him feel. I told him something. I said, you know, I want you to know something. God created you to be a special being. And your life goes from today on. All that stuff in the past, put it behind you. Today is a new day.
Every day is a new experience, that's for sure.
It can be a new day. Put the stuff behind you that's negative. Reach towards those things that are positive. Trust God in what he says. You know, if you want to see a book that shows of loving people, caring people, and I read about it this morning in the Word of God, that we're to be kind, we're to love other people before ourselves, we're to turn the other cheek, we're not to be evil, and we're not to be wicked. And I think that that's something that can guide our entire life, and when it becomes part of our life can only become better.
I would definitely agree. It's hard to argue with logic like that. Let's look at the glass as being half full, every day being a new learning experience. Thank you again, Pastor Steve, for joining us the last hour on WWGH Radio, The Talking Place.